Anybody in here like movies? Movies based on a true story? I always find myself, after I watch a movie that's based on a true story, like, at that point, then I want to go and, like, research it. Like, then I want to know more about it. I want to know everything that happened. It was that way with Titanic. You know, when I watched Titanic multiple times in the theater. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But Titanic, when it was in the theaters, we watched it. I'm not talking about Jack and Rose. I'm just talking about the entire event that took place with the Titanic and how crazy and amazing and just ridiculous the whole thing was. And then 42, you know, the Jackie Robinson story. I mean, oh my gosh, it was so incredible. Everything that he overcame and the things that he did and the things that were just done within that particular point in history. It was incredible. Unbroken. And I wanted to learn about Louis and I wanted to find out all that happened within his life. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right? I mean, there's something to a story that really changes our perspective, especially when it's true. It changes the way we engage what goes on. I've never really thought of myself as a preacher because I'm not the, well, bless God, you know, because that's the way that I grew up. You know, somebody getting all fired up and running around and yelling and spitting in your face. I mean, not they don't spit in your face, but they just have a problem with P's and T's and things like that. Anyway, so everything that went on within that, I just found myself, I'm a storyteller. I love to tell the story of what God's done. And my purpose in life is to help people experience and express the gospel. What you've experienced that you express through your life. That's the whole point of why we're here. We've experienced something personal so that God can do something even more magnanimous because of the fact that it's not about us. And as I started looking at Scripture, there are people within Scripture that honestly, we don't know a whole lot about them. Who were they? What happened in their life? And it does something for me where I want to research it a little bit more. It changed. I'm not a great student. I was never the most academically minded when it came to those things. But for me, I wanted to know more about what was going on. I wanted to see it for more than just a small segment. Why was this segment of this person's life included? And what does it mean for us? They're given no name, but their encounter with Jesus is so significant that it made it into the pages of what we study on a daily basis. For me, I wanted to see it for more. So today, if you'll bear with me, I want you to see it a little bit differently than what maybe you've seen it before. The story that I find is in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, 15. I'll figure it out eventually. John chapter 5 is the story of a man. Well, I could read it, but why not just look at it differently? So let's look at that today.
Hello, and welcome to the Rusty Nail. My name's Artemis, and I'll be your server today. We have a special today. It's a fresh grilled sea bass marinated in a lemon pepper sauce served over a bed of rice. It's quite tasty. Can I start you off with an appetizer, maybe a beverage? All right. A water. No lemon. I'll be right back with that. All right. How's that for you today, sir? Yes, you are correct. It should not still be flopping on your plate. Yes. It is fresh, but not that fresh. All right. Well, I'll get that taken care of. Let me take that for you. I'll be right back with that. And let me get water right here. Oh, I got some water. No lemon. All right. Here is your water. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry. I know that I'm getting older, but that's no excuse for wetting the floor. I'm so sorry about that. Oh, am I having a bad day? No, no. This isn't a bad day. Bad day is, I should know. Bad day is your mom dying while you're being born. Bad day is your dad leaving you on your neighbor's doorstep. Bad day is being born without the use of your legs. This isn't a bad day. I know bad days. My whole life was a bad day.
until the day that I looked up. Oh, come on. You didn't come in here to hear my story. It's not on the menu. But I guess I do owe you an explanation. Okay. I was born backwards. You know, feet first. And it was really, it was tough on my mom. She didn't make it. And I was born with severe nerve damage in my legs, and I didn't have any use of my legs. And, it was hard on my dad, too. He didn't take it very well. When I was about five, he took another job in another city, and he left me on my neighbor's porch. Didn't even say goodbye. And they took care of me the best they could, you know, about like taking care of a stray dog. I was given table scraps and a place, a pallet in the corner where I could sleep, sit, whatever. They just didn't interact with me much. In fact, about the only time that they would is to kick me out of the way, or occasionally they'd throw a ball and tell me to fetch. A grand life. My eighth birthday, they decided they were going to take me into the city. So they had a birthday surprise treat for me. They took me and showed me around the city, first time that I'd ever seen it. And they took me over by the pools of Bethesda, you know, just right outside the gate. It was amazing. Five porches, beautiful water. There were crowds of people. Most of them were blind or lame, crippled, waiting. The pools, they told me, were built as a monument, as a dedication to the Greek god of wisdom, the Greek god of medicine and healing, Asclepius. And rumor had it that his spirit would stir the water. And the first person in, they'd be healed. While I'm sitting here looking around at all this beauty, I turn to say something to my neighbors, and they're gone. They left me in the middle of that crowd, all by myself. Surrounded by people, but I was alone. And I started to think that maybe my dad was right. Maybe I shouldn't have been born. Maybe I was a mistake. Over the next 30 years, I tried to get into that water. Every time it'd bubble up, I'd try to get in there. But I was too weak and too slow, and somebody else was always in ahead of me. I could hear my dad's words. You're a mistake. Should have been you, not her. Got angry. Throughout that time there, I was beaten up more times than I could count. More than I can remember. I was robbed of all kinds of things, including my innocence. I hated everyone and everything. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't make it in. Became very hopeless. And then there was this one day. Oh, it was like any other day for me. I was sitting there staring at the water like I always did. But for a lot of people, they considered it a holy day. I was sitting there waiting and watching. And then this man walks right in front of me.
Hey, mister, I'm sitting here. You're blocking my view. I've already been here. This is my spot. I can't see through you. Make a better door than you do a window. Get out of my way. And then he said, do you want to get well? Do I want to get well? You have the audacity to ask me a question like that when I'm sitting here in this place, of all places. You know what this place represents, is what I thought. And just as I was about to punch him in his family jewel box, I looked up. And he knelt down right in front of me. And he said, do you want to get well? He wasn't asking me with sarcasm or pity. It was a gentle, kind, actual question. I'd forgotten what it was like to be talked to like a person. I just ducked my head and I said, I can't. I've tried to get into the water. I'm too weak. I'm too slow. All these other people get in before me. It's hopeless. I'm hopeless. I can't do it. And then he looked at me, lifted my chin, and he said, stand up, take your mat, and walk. And then he placed his hand on my leg. I felt his hand on my leg. I never felt anything in my legs before. He placed his hand on my leg, and I stood up. I rolled up my sleeping mat. I put it underneath my arm, and I turned to thank him, and he was gone. He disappeared into the crowd. And so I left that horrible place. And as I was walking by the temple, some stuffy religious guy grabs me and he starts yelling at me, you can't carry your mat today. Don't you know what today is? A day that I was healed. The man that healed me told me to take my stuff and walk. So that's what I'm doing. Who told you that? How dare he? Does he know what today is? I don't know. I don't know who he was. I wish I did. I went on my way. Later that afternoon, sitting there just looking around, and this man stands right in front of me again. He says, you look well. I looked up again, and there he was. That man who touched my leg, Jesus. Started to try to talk, but all I could do was cry. I mean, not just little tears, I mean the ugly cry. He just put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you're well now. So stop sinning. Don't go back to where you were. Something worse can happen if you do. Worse than being able to walk. Not being able to walk. Don't go back. I threw my arms around him, gave him a big hug. As manly a hug as you can whenever you're bawling like a baby. And then he turned and he left. And I watched him walk away. When he left, I didn't feel empty. I didn't feel alone. I wasn't crushed. I had a sense of purpose and direction. I knew what I was doing. That's why I do what I do now. Every day when I come to work for the last 12 years, I walk by those pools and I look at them and I don't hate them. I'm not as angry as I used to be. I walk by them and I remember what happened that day to me. So today, is this a bad day? No. It's a happy day. It's a great day. Anyway, what can I get for you today?
there's a point within Scripture where do we know what happened to the man after he left? We don't. We have the scriptural account, the biblical account listed in John chapter 5. That a man was an invalid for 38 years. Jesus knew that he was sick. He approaches him, asks him if he wants to get well. Tells him to get up, take his mat, and walk. And when he does, his life is forever changed. As I started to look through Scripture, commentaries, additional studies, a lot of people believed that because of the fact that this was a pool that was outside of the gate, is that it was dedicated to a Greek god during that particular time. And the aqueducts that were there, they would shift them and change them, and fresh water would flow in, it would cause it to bubble. But people had the mindset that if I got in there that I would be healed, and occasionally people would be healed because the power of the mind and their faith was significant. But here was a guy that was struggling. The word Bethesda, when you look at it in Hebrew and Aramaic, which is really interesting, it means shame, disgrace. It's a dual meaning word. This place that was filled with individuals that were sick and broken and in need of something bigger, waiting, hoping for something that may not ever show up for them. The other meaning for Bethesda is house of mercy, house of grace. So here, in their shame, in this man's shame and in his disgrace, Jesus meets him right where he's at. And he offers him mercy and grace. Grace strips away the shame of our mistakes. And it empowers them with purpose. Grace strips away the shame. Shame that says, I am the mistake. Not that I made a mistake. That's guilt. I made a mistake. Shame says, I am the mistake. There are times that we live life thinking that we are the mistake. That what we've done is something that's so big that God could never forgive us. And really, we just can't forgive ourselves. God meets you right where you are. He meets you right where you are. And somebody in here today is saying, I'm broken. I'm hurting. I have so much shame for the things that I've done. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? Because in this house, in this place, this is a place where healing of broken souls is found. This is a place where newness of life is discovered. This is a place where no matter what you came in with, you don't have to leave with it. You can roll up your mat and move away from what was something that held you stuck in your place for so long. Some of you have been in this place for so long and you're looking for one particular thing and God hasn't delivered it the way that you're wanting to, and He's saying, no, I've got something different for you. I'm ready for you to take up your mat and go because I've got a purpose for you. It's not limited to what you think you know or what you think you see. There's something more to it than this. This is not the end all. I'm your focus. See, for so long, this man focused on the wrong thing. He focused in the wrong direction when the thing that he needed to focus on was right in front of him. I love the scripture. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. My power is made perfect in weakness. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. We live in a culture where being vulnerable is almost a sin. We're sharing our heart, our struggles, becomes something that we're not supposed to talk about. Until you've had victory, don't say anything about it. But in the secret is where things grow. In the dark is where it has the ability to dwell and it has the ability to become bigger. Healing comes when we're open and honest about where we really are in life. Jesus met this man in a place of disgrace, and he met him with grace. Healing and wholeness in his life was never the same. See, the finish is found in the focus. The finish is found in the focus. Anybody watch the Olympics? How could you not? It was on for like a month. Right? I was watching Michael Phelps race. It was crazy. I think that he has a motor attached to his back. He's swimming and the man next to him in the lane next to him, instead of looking straight ahead, is looking over at Michael Phelps. No. Look where you're going. Your finish is found in your focus, not in him. If you focus on him, you're going to lose. You're going to miss the mark. The finish is found in our focus. Where are you looking? Where is your direction? Where is your eyesight? Where is your hope? Scripture says that those who put their hope in the Lord, they'll mount up with wings as eagles, they'll run and not go weary, they'll walk and not faint. There are points and places where we have to stop looking at every little thing and wondering why things aren't happening the way that we want them to. Woe is me is done. Think about ships for just a second. Ship doesn't sink because of the water around it. The only time that it becomes an issue is when water gets inside of it. And then it starts to sink. How many of us have allowed what's going on around us to get into us and bog us down and keep us settled, where we're sinking and we're bailing water as fast as we can, going, God, when are you going to show up? Because we do that. We want to know. And there's nothing wrong with honest prayer. For me, the focus has to become just like Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Okay, that's great. That is a perfect biblical answer. Jason, how do I do that? Right? Seek Him first. I feel like I'm trying to find Waldo and I have no book. Right? How do I seek God? Come on. Stop giving me some religious jargon. Start giving me something practical that I can do that allows me to experience Him every day. How do I do this? Because we do. We've been in this church world for so long, and don't get me wrong, I grew up this way and I wanted to know and I was desperate to ask questions like, how do I do that? But I knew that if
you just have to have faith, son.
Okay, what does that mean? Help me understand this. Help me just not just look at it and feel like an idiot because I can't grasp this and wrap my head around it. Yes, it's church. And yes, it's faith. I get it, but help me know how to seek God.
Well, start reading your Bible and praying for an hour.
Huh? Okay. We miss it. We try to make it a moment with God that lasts the whole day. It's like eating breakfast and never eating again for the rest of the day. You get really hangry. Right? Spiritually, how hangry are you? You're hungry for something more, but you're angry because you're not finding it. Then I read this, because this started to make sense to me. Acts 17, verse 28. For in Him we live and move and exist. As the poets have said, we are His offspring. Okay. So clearly you can tell that I think in pictures. Whether it's moving or whether it's real. Don't worry, I'm not going to throw water on you. But this represents our lives. And some of us just think, well, bless God, I got some God in my life now. Everything's good. Got just enough. Focus on Him. How do we focus on Him? We seek Him first. Don't think priority. Don't think list. It's not like a list. Because in Him we live and move and exist. In Him we live and move and exist. Through Him we live and move and exist. You know what happens when you're in water? Now, with some of us, we have great fancy phone cases that allow us to take pictures underwater and to see things that we didn't see before. And we can put goggles on and we can see underwater. When you're in and fully submerged in water, all you see is through water. We wonder how we seek Him first. We immerse ourselves in Him. And then everywhere we go, it's okay, it's carpet, it'll dry. We're wringing out the Spirit in other people's lives. What we've experienced, we express. Not because we have been to seminary, not because we've gotten a full idea of how to communicate the gospel with great clarity, with great understanding. No, because we've experienced something significant. When we express it, it becomes real. First-hand experience. Watching a football game or being at the football game or being on the field. You can see it from all different views. Where are you? At home, your couch, watching the show? Did you buy a ticket? You're at the game? Or did you suit up and you're on the field? Put me in, coach. There's so many aspects of this that really just begin to change. And I hope that as you look at it, that you begin to see that my life is intended to be in Him. So how do I do that? Don't think one moment. Think many moments. Little moments. Worship in the morning. Reading a scripture at break. Dwelling on it. Praying about it. Getting in the car and turning on the radio again as you listen to worship as you go home. Why? Because in Him we live and move and exist. Am I asking you to be perfect? No. No, that's not your job. That's His job. He's our focus. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18 says, don't lose heart. Though outwardly you're wasting away, inwardly you're being renewed day by day. This light and momentary trouble is achieving for you an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Don't fix your eyes on what's seen. It's temporary. Fix your eyes on what's unseen. It's eternal. In Him we live and move and exist. And everything else begins to pale in comparison to who He really is and what He really does. Because His plan for you is more than the shame that you once experienced, than the guilt that you carry. Because He'll use anything. He used a donkey. He uses me. He'll use you. It's just whether or not you're willing to actually take the risk of trusting Him and standing up, taking the thing that once held you back and making it work for you instead of you being a servant to it. Your past is gone. When you give it to Him, it's washed away. In this place, in this moment, Jesus meets you and asks the same questions. Do you want to get well? For some of you, it's a broken soul. For some of you, it's a wounded, paralyzed soul that is afraid to move forward. You've been stuck in the same place spiritually for years. So here's a good barometer, a good question. Are you in the same place spiritually right now that you were last year at this time? Have you moved forward in your relationship with God, or are you stuck? We don't think about that sometimes. We get into a routine and we just feel like it's what we do, but are you moving forward in Him? Are you growing in Him? Is your heart swelling to the point that you can't contain it? Where are you at in your relationship with Him? Has it begun? Has it stalled? Or have you picked up and ready to run? Where are you at? Because that's what He's asking today. Do you want to get well? Do you want to take that next step? Do you want to go to the next point in your relationship with Him? Do you want to get well? Because yes, physical healing is fantastic, but spiritual healing, that's eternal. That's whole. That's complete. That changes our perspective. We might not be able to change our surroundings, but we can change our point of view within our surroundings. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for who You are. That You never leave us, that You don't forget about us, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, You are constant. You are faithful. God, and the beauty of Your grace is that You still accepted us even when we couldn't accept ourselves. That You were faithful even when we weren't. God, I'm so amazed by Your grace. I'm humbled by it, God, and I'm so grateful for it. Because without it, we'd be in the same place that we were before we met You, or worse. God, let today be an opportunity to experience Your grace in a life-changing, in a real way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. This is an opportunity for some of you to say, yeah, Jason, I'm stuck. I've been in the same place spiritually. I'm ready to take that next step. I'm ready to move forward. I'm going to give my all to God because in Him I want to live and move and exist. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Yeah, all around the room. Yep. Thank You, Jesus. Let me just pray for you. Hey, God, thank You for these individuals that say, hi, I want more of You, Lord. You see them. You know them. You knew their heart before they ever raised their hand, God. And Lord, I pray that today be an opening of their soul, that it begin to see You in a new way, that they would explore the depths of Your love and Your grace. God, that they would be immersed in it, that they would be surrendered to who You are, and that their past would be pale in comparison to Your grace. God, that they would be able to move forward as they move with You. That God, we understand that the greatest risk often has the greatest reward. So God, help us to step out and follow You. We don't know exactly what that is, so every day we're going to put ourselves aside and seek You first and seek You constant. Jesus, and we know that we can't do this without You. We can't be consistent in You because consistency is only found in You. So God, fill us with Your love because Your love conquers, believes, hopes, and bears all things. Your love never fails. It's Your love that drove You to the cross, and it's by Your stripes that we're healed. So Father, we surrender ourselves to Your love. Let us walk with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let it be evident in our words and in our actions so that we don't just seem like another religious fountain of jargon, but God, that we would be genuine in our words and our life. And let that overflow onto the lives of others around us. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you are here today and say, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never surrendered my heart to Him. I've never done that. And I know He's meeting me right where I am. And I recognize all the things that have happened in my life. They remind me constantly. And Jesus says, in this place, right here, today, a day where we have had hundreds and thousands of bad days, today can be a day that you can look up and your life can be different forever. So right now, in this setting, if you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to give Him my heart, and I want to surrender it to Him, if that's you, raise your hand and meet me eye to eye. Look up at me right here, right where you're at. If that's you, just raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I see you. Thanks. Thanks. He meets you right where you are. You don't have to be the same. You can walk out of this room and you can be different today. He knows your name. He knew your name before you ever walked in here. He hasn't forgotten about you. He didn't abandon you. He's walked through it with you, no matter where you've been and what you've done. And he says, let me carry it. And what he did is he carried it all the way to the cross. And on the cross, he opened his arms and they nailed him and crucified him to a cross. And 3 days later, after he had died, he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered everything. And when he did, he says, I offer it to you. I offer you eternal life. I offer you peace that surpasses understanding, that'll guard your heart and your mind. I offer you truth, because I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So what I want you to do is just, all of you together, just pray this prayer and repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I need you. I give you my life. It's not my own. I believe that you died and that you rose so that I could have new life. I give you my heart. I give you my past. And I give you my future. It's in you I trust. Thank you for new life. Fill me with your Spirit so I can accomplish your will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's celebrate this morning. Let's celebrate like we remember where we were. Let's celebrate like we remember that Jesus died for us and that we'd be in hell otherwise. That we would remember that He is the way. You got to understand one thing. You cannot lose through bad behavior what you didn't earn through good behavior. You can't lose through bad behavior what you didn't earn through good behavior. He meets you right where you are, regardless of your actions, and offers grace. And the truth of it is that He changes you. There's so many things that we could look at. And I hope that today, as you leave, you begin to experience and reflect on today. And say, God, how can I grow in you? This is a conversation. Don't just look at it as a how-to. This isn't a DIY on Pinterest. This is an opportunity for you to just connect with Him. And as you connect with Him through worship, through word, find your angle. How do you connect with God? Yes, we all connect through Christ. But how do we approach Him? Through worship, through prayer, through meditation, through journaling? What is it that's for you that allows you to connect with God in a real way? And find it. If you struggle with ADD, read out loud. It helps, I promise. Or if you just get distracted by shiny objects, then just write on something shiny. There are opportunities for us to experience God every single day. But experiencing Him isn't the peak. If it were, He would have taken the disciples with Him when He left. Instead, He said, go and make disciples. What you've experienced is what you're meant to express. So God, I thank you for this group of people here that are here today. I thank you for their patience, for their attention. God, I don't take it for granted. I thank you for their hearts, for their minds, for their willingness to seek you in all things. God, for them to put themselves aside and begin to seek you first in everything that they do. And as we leave this place today, God, let us be full of your joy, of your peace and your love. And let it be evident through our face and our actions in the world that we encounter. We thank you so much, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.